You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. You know what was fun? I was editing our previous episode today, and I'm like editing out all of the like the little bits like here and there that we don't really need, like I don't know, a dead space or a cough here or there or whatever.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know. I mean, I probably don't need to do this, but when I edit through our episodes, I never delete anything. I don't know why. I'm sure it's fine if I do. But I always just move it to a track on its own that I mute so that you can't hear the track. So it's still in the GarageBand file. And I didn't mean to, but I accidentally unmuted the track and then hit play. And it was just like dead space. And then just like all of the coughs and all of the dead space like played in a row. It was the weirdest audio file ever.
And last episode, the one that you were editing, was I literally had a coughing fit. So that's probably what it was.
There were a few I removed, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I have been noticing it lately. When I'm on like a meeting, a video call, or like a client call, and I'm doing a lot of talking, and same with the podcast, I just get such a tickle in my throat. And it's honestly like probably this year, like, or the last year, just like being basically isolated at home most of the time. Like, I just feel like I don't talk that much. So then when
it's
I do.
It's also so dry, the air right now.
Yeah,
so
you're right. Well, yeah, you jumped right in there, but I wanted to say that it's your birthday.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. It is my birthday. I was born on a Monday, in fact.
Just were like you?
We're recording on a Monday.
January 11th.
20 beep years ago.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. Yeah, 28. I don't know, 28. You know, I cleaned my bathroom today on my birthday, which I think as we get older, those are the things that
it's a very 28-year-old thing to do.
Give us pleasure. I think so.
Yeah, I agree. I hope you had a good birthday. This is such a treat getting to chat with you on your birthday, getting to record an episode. I'm so excited.
I think we recorded on your birthday, your last birthday, we also recorded. That day of your actual birthday, but then we celebrated it a different day.
Did we record on my birthday?
I think so.
I can't remember.
Maybe not, but I think we did. We like to record on special days.
Yeah, for sure. It just makes it the episode that much more fun. I don't really... Do you have anything, like... You got anything interesting to tell me? Good stories?
I mean, I don't know if this is interest... I mean, it is of interest. It's definitely not interesting in, like, a salacious way. But I know my first, like, personal friend who has COVID.
Oh, no. That's... Yeah,
I
know.
It's like... I mean, obviously, it's so real. Like, whatever. Like, almost a million people at this point have.
No, I think it's 2 million. Oh, have passed. I was going to say, what was it today? I was listening to the radio. I'm not going to say it because I'm going to sound dumb. I forget what the number was. The amount of people that had, like, contracted COVID in the last year or whatever.
It's like a really, really big number.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I'm just looking it up right now, and I don't know, like, reflecting on it, like when you see it in the news is one thing, and then knowing somebody personally is another thing. Oh my gosh, it's 1.9 million deaths worldwide.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like an outrageous, it was 2 million I think they said on
and the news. 90 million over 90 million cases worldwide.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you don't have to disclose this. Is your friend in Nova Scotia?
No.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, because the cases are so low there that it would be, I don't know, it's kind of rare to, when there's only like 30 something cases in a province, to know someone.
I mean, like, and thankfully it's a mild case, but it's like, oh, like, And it's somebody who goes nowhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that is the thing that's so annoying, is like, this is someone who like doesn't go to bars, whatever, has not been out to eat, etc. Like has gone beyond the restrictions, you know, like really, really being extra responsible and still got it. That's so annoying.
I think I'm interested to like, I guess I'm just curious to know what people who are listening are thinking and where they're listening from, because obviously, you know, some places the COVID cases are much higher than others, so it's always interesting to me, because I'm sure there's lots of people out there, whether maybe you're listening in like Ontario or you're listening in the US, you probably know like a handful of people who've had COVID, like because there's so many cases. But where we are in the Maritimes, like the cases have been so low all throughout compared to like when we have, and we're really lucky
when we have like 10 cases in one day, we're like, oh my god.
Oh yeah. So like New Brunswick lately has had like a quote spike, unquote, in the last few days, and like our
30 cases,
seriously, our highest case number of all time since this started is 31. Meanwhile,
and it pushed the province into like lockdown.
Yeah, literally, like we're back, like they've restricted basically everything again. You can have a one household bubble, like can't see anyone outside of your house. And meanwhile, like in Canada, in Ontario, where it's I think the worst in Canada, they're having like 4,000 a day, and they're predicting 6,000 a day by the end of the month. Meanwhile, in the US, it's like even worse than that. So we're over here like, oh my God, 30 cases. This is crazy. But we're really lucky, and it's really actually quite low here. So yeah, it's probably like some people listening here that like, you know, your first person, like one person that you know has gotten COVID. And I still don't think anyone that I am like, I don't know anyone that I'm like friends with or anything like that that has contracted it yet, because we live in such a literally like a bubble here in the Maritimes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a really good point. And we now have regular listeners from every, I guess, inhabited continent. We don't have any loyal listeners from Antarctica. We'd love to have some. But we have like people in North America, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, Australia, all those continents. And so that's like a really... Well, everybody, the geographics there are totally different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting for people to contact us either on the Instagram or on Twitter. And you'll see the links are in the description of the episode. We'd love to hear about how it's been for you.
Yeah, and what it's like, where you are.
Also, the government messaging is probably so different from country to country.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so let us know. Yeah, because we all just really want to talk about COVID even more than, you know, than we already do.
Sorry, everyone.
Anyways. Well, moving on, I think this is a great time, Tarek, if you have something interesting, some BS you came across in the last week, some nutrition BS, wellness BS that you want to talk about, why don't you tell me?
Yeah, you know, actually, yeah, there's been a fountain of different things that I could select from. And actually, I love doing this thing where I prepare my BS of the week that it's not my turn, and then I just have it sitting for a week. So I forgot what my BS of the week was, and then I opened my notes today, and guess what it is? I totally gaslit myself, because we were talking about whether or not we wanted to do a full episode on this, which we still can in the future, but this is the BS of the week that I prepared. It's the Go Low for Life diet.
No way!
Yeah. Yeah. And the weird thing is, listeners, is that I texted Hannah today asking her whether we should do a full episode on that.
Well, today, and
whatever, the other day or whatever.
I texted you. Yeah, because I texted you last week. Because we like peruse what's trending on Google, like for nutrition related searches and diet related searches. And one of the things was this Go Low for Life diet. And I texted you and said, Go Low for Life. Like, it's trending like crazy. And you were just kind of like,
what's that?
Yeah, I know. You were literally like, oh, what's that? So I had no idea.
So it turns out I actually know what it is.
There we go.
And I think without burying the lead, I think we should just get into it and say the name is so, it means nothing. So GOLO apparently stands for a bunch of, like, G-O-L-O. So it could be go lose weight or go look your best. Like, that's their whole branding. Their branding is just like GOLO, go low, like lower weight. Like,
that's
their whole, there's nothing. GOLO is not a, it's not a,
doesn't stand for something,
not a supplement,
right?
It's not, yeah, it doesn't, GOLO, it's not an acronym, doesn't stand for anything. It's not an acronym, right. Exactly.
Okay.
So first of all, that is so boring. I don't know who came up with that. I found a really nice article to kind of that discusses some of these things. It was written by Malia Frey, and we'll link that, from verywellfit.com. It was also, and I like to see this, the article was reviewed by a registered dietitian before it was published by
Nielsen.
So we'll have those links in the description. So apparently this GOLO for life diet, they're really marketing it towards short-term weight loss, which we all know, we've talked about this before, is when you get weight loss in a very short amount of time, it's very likely not the weight loss that you think it is, aka it's not fatty tissue, it's probably, you're like, maybe it's like even a bit of muscle mass, or it's
water weight,
stored glycogen. You're not necessarily losing, quote, inches off your waist the way that you think you are. And the other thing that I like about what they were talking about in the article is this quote, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's effective, which I've never really, I like that. I think we've said that in other words before, but I like the way that they, that Malia Frey wrote it in that article there.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, their whole thing requires you to pay money, obviously. Everyone saw that coming. So it's this 30 to 90 day metabolic plan, quote, whatever that means, metabolic plan, which promises to, quote, restore your hormonal balance and repair your metabolism. First of all, you can't do any of that stuff. None of that really means anything. If you are changing your hormonal balance, that's very likely going to require some clinical grade strength pharmaceuticals and some very careful monitoring on the part of a clinician. You're not going to be able to do it through a 30 to 90 day metabolic plan. There's also so many factors that control all of those things, your hormones, your metabolism. Like, they're very complex things that you cannot just control them simply through food choice. Like, there's a lot more, there's many things involved. Their overarching theme, as is the case for a lot of diets, I guess, or a lot of like healthy diets, quote, healthy diets, is to eliminate processed foods. So they don't really want to limit stuff. They want to eliminate. They want to add exercise. Not a bad idea. The unfortunate thing is that they want to limit calories and portion sizes, which it may not always be the healthiest approach toward moving towards a healthier life. Which also, people are looking for the GOLO for life diet, I'm not really sure it's a health expectation. I think it's like really a weight loss thing, right? They're not going to choose it for health.
You don't choose something for health that only lasts 30 to 90 days.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, of course, again, goes without saying, there's a proprietary supplement, which is called Release. And, quote, Release works fast to stop further weight gain and starts to repair the imbalances that prevent weight loss. And all of these imbalances apparently are due to insulin and insulin fluctuations. And, of course, the supplement is going to make all those terrible things go away. It's, quote, all natural, quote, plant-based, so it's getting all this greenwashing that we've talked about in prior episodes. And because it's patented, you don't actually get to know all of the ingredients and necessarily how it's made. So that's really annoying and obviously not transparent. But what they do tell you is that it targets multiple biochemical pathways. So do a lot of things. So does cheese. and I don't know, like anything, lots of things target multiple biochemical pathways. It's not special. They also say, aside from the whole insulin thing, is that it slows the digestion of fat and it releases satiety hormones, which after we talk about what they do tell us is in it, you'll see that maybe that's not necessarily the case. They do have this disclaimer that says it's safe for most people unless they have certain medical conditions. So that automatically made me think of St. John's wort, because they also say that the supplement's supposed to help with stress and anxiety. And their logic there is that that will help with cravings and emotional eating. Then they also say that you would have serious side effects if you were taking it while you're breastfeeding or pregnant. And that makes me think that possibly it does have something like St. John's wort in it, because you also can't take St. John's wort if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. Anyway, they don't tell you that, though.
I don't know what St. John's wort is, and I don't know if I should.
It's a herbal supplement. It's actually the only herbal supplement that probably has a bit of clinical evidence behind it in terms of helping with depression and anxiety.
Okay.
Although it can be really troublesome. You can't combine it with a bunch of drugs. You definitely can't take it while you're pregnant or breastfeeding.
Okay.
I don't think it's efficacious long term. There's a bunch of reasons not to take it and to actually go see a therapist and see your options there.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do tell us is in it is magnesium, zinc, and chromium. Okay, so sounds fancy to include all these elements, but what does that really mean? So this article that I'm going to link is super helpful because they go through all of this with us. And I actually looked up some other papers to kind of supplement this as well. So magnesium, there's, as you can imagine, it's an element. I mean, nothing necessarily fancy about it. There's no evidence that it helps with weight loss at all. And in the tablet, they only give you about 15 milligrams. So if you were to take 3 of those per day, you'd get about 4% of your recommended daily value. I'm not sure 4% of anything is going to make a huge difference. They also include zinc, for which there's virtually no evidence with regards to weight loss. Same thing with chromium. Then that's from the National Institute of Health saying that there's no evidence there.
Okay.
And then there's also a bunch of herbs and plant compounds in it. They say that there's apple fruit extract, pectin, which we've talked about before on the podcast, and which is vegetable and or like plant in general, vegetable and fruit molecule. It's actually can be a form of fiber. But then again, you're also getting such a limited quantity of it in those pills. You could also just eat an apple instead
right.
of taking some of these pills, and you'll get a lot more fiber than you would out of the pills. It'll also be a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hate this because it makes it sound so fancy that they include all these ingredients in it, but doesn't mean anything. My favorite thing when people do is when companies do this, they say you should take Release, the supplement, until you reach your goal weight. But after you reach your goal weight, you may want to keep taking it. Maybe in a lower dose, but definitely keep taking it. And they talk about doing this. I don't want to take too much of our episode time, but they talk about doing this clinical trial. They talk about it like it was some huge deal. It was 6 months. They had a few patients. And basically nothing ended up happening. And also none of it was peer reviewed. So it's not a true clinical trial if the results weren't published publicly and then peer reviewed
right.
by somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
The results mean nothing. It's okay, congratulations that you pretended to have a clinical trial. And obviously a lot of their evidence is just through I don't know if I even believe them, but customer testimonials. They could have just made anything up.
Right.
And of course, that's really, bless all these people who do this. I don't know why they do this, because I'm assuming they have enough money anyway, but the founder is an MD. I mean, you could have done something else with your time. So that also, I guess, gives them some credence in some people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you know, just to wrap things up, weight loss incurred. Oh, sorry. And their whole thing with this diet plan that you get out of their 30 to 90 day, whatever, metabolic plan. It's actually a really complex diet plan that's really hard to figure out for people.
Okay.
They say you don't need to count your calories, but they count the calories for you. That's why they say you don't need to worry about counting calories, because they're already limiting your calories by dictating what your diet is going to consist of. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's this like fake thing of saying, oh, don't worry about your calories. No, but we are worrying about calories because you are telling me exactly what to eat and in what amounts.
So it's like a strict plan.
So it is calorie counting. Exactly.
That says, like, eat this for breakfast, eat this for lunch, eat this. Yeah. Like, it's a strict plan. Okay, so they are, yes, of course, they're controlling your calories. They're not
exactly
asking you to count them, but because they're telling you exactly what and how much to eat, they are controlling your
calories. That's the annoying thing. Like, they say calorie control, but, like, you don't have to count your calories. No, it's like, you basically are.
Right.
But anyway, like we've talked about before, weight loss through simple calorie restriction can be effective in the short term. It doesn't support long-term weight loss. And there's no great evidence that you're going to get some huge health benefits out of it, because it's not a healthy way to approach it. And as always, weight loss does not always mean increased health. And like we've talked about before, it's probably not the weight loss that you think it is.
So
that is the Golo for Life diet.
I have a question. Do you...
Yeah.
They disclose how many calories people are eating?
Yeah, so they say... so from the, like, rough numbers of 2,000 for men and 1,800 for women, I guess that's, like, the general rule for the USDA or whatever, is that they reduce anywhere from 500 to 700 calories a day. I know, it's quite a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, oh my gosh, so 1,800, like 1,300 calories for women. That is not enough food. Like, of course you're going to lose weight in 30 to 90 days if you're eating 1,300 calories every day for 90 days. But I don't understand, like, and you're taking this, like, pill, that's probably not going to do anything. It's the caloric, it's that giant caloric deficit that's going to result in that weight loss. But then I don't understand. So what do you do after the 90 days? Like, you just go back
to gain the weight back. Yeah.
Right. You just go back to your normal life eating normally. Obviously if you're a woman, if you're eating more than 1300 calories after 90 days, you're going to put that weight back on. You're not going to maintain that weight loss.
I'm not really sure if there's much research about this, but as I was reading through this, to me, it kind of felt like, and I don't mean to single out women, but like one of the examples that I can think of is like watching Say Yes to the Dress and some of the people who are buying wedding dresses saying, oh, like I'm going to go on this diet plan to get into the dress for my wedding, and then I don't care after that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on women to like, quote, look good or look thin for, you know, big days like a wedding or whatever. So it's like terrible that society puts this pressure on them. But I wonder if like this is the reason that people approach diets like this, is like for like, I'm going down south in like 3 months. Like I'm going to do the Golo for Life diet and lose some weight.
But that's just I guess what people don't realize is that it's like a lot of times if that's your goal, like, you know, in 90 days is your wedding and you want to lose weight for your wedding or your vacation or what this event, whatever it is. Sure, you go on this diet plan, you eat such little calories, you lose weight. But I think maybe what people don't realize is that there's actually a few things people don't realize. Number one, how miserable you're going to be in that 90 days. Like, you're just going to feel like shit. You're going to have no energy. You're going to be craving food, like, through the roof because you're depriving yourself so much. And then, two, I don't know if people think that, like, I'll lose weight for my trip down south or whatever, and then sure, I'll gain weight back afterwards, but like I'll just go back to my normal weight. But that's not what happens. Like usually because you've deprived yourself so much and your basal metabolic rate or your metabolism has been suppressed and like lowered because you're in a state of like famine, your body's trying to conserve energy, you actually end up, when you start eating normal, you'll probably end up gaining the weight back, but you'll probably end up gaining more weight back too, because you just all of a sudden, when you go on that vacation or right after your wedding, you just binge on everything that you weren't allowed to eat or whatever it is, because your intake was so restricted beforehand. So you end up, you gain the weight back, but you gain back more. And then that's what puts you in that like diet cycle, is like you're unhappy again. So you're like, okay, well, the GOLO diet works, so I'm going to do that again before my next event or whatever. And that's how you get trapped in that cycle of like losing a bunch of weight, gaining it back plus a little bit more, and then losing weight, gaining it back plus more next time. And it just like keeps going like that. So my advice, you know, even if, I mean, it's very complex, this whole, dropping weight for the wedding and stuff like that. There's a lot of things we could, a lot of issues we could address there. I'm on such a tangent, but my advice is just to like, not go on a crash diet, because it is just going to like leave you in a cycle of dieting and then gaining weight back and then dieting and then gaining, like yo-yo dieting or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other things that you could do that would contribute to a healthier diet that could make you feel better, like rather than concentrating on what you're going to end up looking like. Like, maybe reducing processed foods, like, maybe isn't a terrible idea if, like, your whole diet is just processed foods. Maybe, like, try to reduce them in your diet. Like, that's a good thing. Adding exercise, that's not a bad thing, but, like, do it to a safe extent and, like, in a place where like you find it manageable and also not stressful, maybe even enjoyable, you'd hope to strive for.
Yeah.
Like these are good things to do, but all that calorie restriction, the purchasing of the supplements, the desire just to like lose weight quickly.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it's like, it's not for anybody's benefit.
Losing weight quickly is like we said at the start of this, like it, and health and losing weight quickly, like don't go hand in hand.
Right.
You know, if you want, anyways, I don't know what I was gonna say, but one thing that I did want to say is that I saw a really great post from a fellow dietitian. Her name's Charlotte, at Shaped by Charlotte on Instagram, if you guys want to follow her. But she made a post, I think it was right around the new year, and it was like, keep this in mind, like around the new year's, the more, What did you say? It was like, the more drastic the diet, the less sustainable the results.
Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's like a great way to put it. The more, like the bigger extent that you have to go to lose weight, or like the more intense the crash diet, the more difficult it's going to be to maintain that moving forward.
I mean, yeah, we've talked about that before with respect to sustainability. And I mean, inherently in the GOLO for Life diet, they're telling you that at maximum it's going to last 3 months. So like they're inherently telling you like this is not sustainable, just like by the way that they're selling it. Like maybe they're not saying it outright, but almost like through the marketing, it sounds like this is not a sustainable thing to do.
No, it literally through their marketing, and from what I've just heard from you, it literally sounds like they're a crash diet. Yeah. Like they're like, do our diet to lose weight quickly. And which to me, it's funny to me that that's something that's popular right now, because, you know, for the most part, I feel like in the last, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, it's, you know, there's been a shift towards like people are catching on to diet culture and to quick fixes and crash diets. And so diet culture has kind of had to disguise itself as like, it's a lifestyle, not a diet. But this GOLO thing is like, nope, I'm still a diet.
Well, and the problem is like the GOLO for Life diet too does this thing. Like it tries to disguise itself a little bit because it incorporates a bunch of like wacky pseudoscience, just like with a bunch of fancy words. So like the way that you create your diet plan is like, it seems incomprehensible, honestly. And some of the reviews specific, like not on their website, but on other websites, the reviews of the diet that I was looking at, people were talking a lot about how it was so hard to understand how to create your meal plan, because you have to find out what to eat via what they call their metabolic fuel matrix. So you have to somehow calculate your quote personal metabolic rate, which good luck calculating that on your own. I don't, like, you could walk into a metabolism lab and I'm sure they would have a difficult time calculating your personal metabolic rate. It would take some time.
The thing, exactly. The only like accurate way to determine your metabolic rate is indirect calorimetry, which
takes
a long time, right. And you know, it's expensive, and
people, you need to go to like a laboratory.
Yes, you have to do it in a lab. So you can, there are calculations that, you know, even in clinical settings, like people like dietitians would use to determine a patient's estimate of their like their resting metabolic rate or whatever, but
doing it on your own is maybe not the smartest option.
Right. The calculators that they would give you online and things like that, there's so many factors that play a role that they're usually not the most accurate at all. And it's really hard to determine what your calorie needs just from a calculation.
And they throw in these ideas of like the supplement being like whatever. They've had a clinical trial. Like, again, it's like a diet, but it's like trying to disguise itself as scientific somehow, when in fact it's really not.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're trying to trick people.
It just sounds tricky to me. And especially, I mean, again, to go on what you were saying about how they're like kind of trying to like trick people into thinking it's more like a for life thing. It's like, they literally say go low for life.
Yeah.
But then they're also like, do this in 30 to 90 days.
Yeah. So it's I know.
What?
I know.
Is it 30 days or is it for life? Which one is it?
Yeah.
Anyways, seriously. Well, that was great. I'm glad that we got to talk about that because I know that we had been wanting to. So, yeah, probably not your best bet if you're listening out there. We would not recommend the Golo for Life diet.
Don't spend money.
Yeah. Don't spend your money on that. Yeah. Me. Okay, so we're gonna jump into the main topic of our episode, which is another diet, actually, or another, maybe not a diet, a method.
It's a regime. It's an institution.
It's an institution. You're right. So we're gonna talk to you guys today about. Do you know how to pronounce this properly?
I've been saying Meyer.
I've been saying Mayer.
Mayer. I'm good with Mayer.
Let's go Mayer. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Mayer method. M-A-Y-R. Mayer. Yes. Mayer. One of those. Maybe it's not even either of those. Who knows?
It's a silent M, yeah.
So the Mayer method seems to have gained some popularity this year. I think a lot of people have been talking about it. A lot of media outlets have been talking about it.
Yeah. It's very popular right now.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because there are some certain celebrities who have claimed or credited this method as, you know, what they've been using on their weight loss journeys. So specifically, I don't know if we...
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter who, but Rebel Wilson, if you guys know who that is, actress, comedian, she, in the last year has shared a lot on social media about her experiences with the Mayer method.
She's been very I think it's okay to say it's her, because she, unlike some of the other celebrities that maybe have been using... like allegedly using some of the diets we've previously talked about this season, she's actually been very forthcoming about doing it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas they haven't really publicly addressed it. People have spoken about it on their behalf.
Right. Yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah, so Rebel Wilson, this past year has been sharing on Instagram about her journey with the Mayer method. And they actually have part of what the Mayer method is these Viva Mayer locations, which are basically like...
This, I'm so excited to talk about
this. Yeah, we'll talk about them. So they're basically just like big, they're like compounds. They're like wellness centers. And there's, I think, four locations, three in Austria, one in London. And they're just literally like holistic wellness centers where they do a bunch of things. They put you on a diet. We're going to talk about it. So the first thing, where did the Mayer method come from? From what I understand, it was created, again, like you've already said, doesn't really, it might sound like it gives it some credibility, but it shouldn't.
Right.
Just based on all the diets we've talked about created by physicians. This Mayer method was created by Austrian physician Dr. Franz Xaver Mayer, also over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Is when it was created. Yeah, it's old. It's been around for a long time. And so it's the Mayer method, but it's also been known as the FX Mayer cure as well. So whatever you want to call it. So I guess maybe we should talk, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into the specifics of like the eating pattern and the diet, let's talk about Viva Mayer. Do you want to, like, as a whole?
Yeah. You know what? I want to add one thing, but
okay.
Do you mind talking about the diet itself? But I want to add one thing before that. Something that was really interesting to me about this is that, unlike with some of the other diets, or like most of the other diets that we've discussed before, even though this diet is, quote, like, it's like fairly old, you know, it's not a necessarily new agey diet, like it's been around for a while. Bar like a few really tiny things that don't actually have any relevant data with respect to even weight loss, there is virtually no peer-reviewed work on the Mayer method. None.
Right.
I couldn't find one article,
right?
Which is so weird, because usually you even find really crappy articles about some of the other diets, or even some articles that like dispute their efficacy. But there was nothing about this. So like somehow it's like been around for a long time, but people, I don't know, like people aren't talking about it in the scientific community for some reason.
Well, I mean, it's probably because it's like so, I don't, yeah, like, it's because it's like a method, but at the same time, it's like, just there's so much that goes into it. And it's, I don't know, like why people aren't going to study this, because there's so many different factors that are extremely expensive, and you know, I just don't see people like studying all of the different treatments that they ask you to do as part of the Mayer method in addition to the diet. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay, I see. Yeah.
Because from what I understand, so like on the Viva Mayer website, it says that Viva Mayer combines modern complementary medicine with traditional diagnostics and therapies, right. Which is like, what? Like,
that's, they're using that very loosely.
Right. So there's like, yeah, exactly. And then another quote that they, I don't know, this was in an article that I read a few different articles, one, a quote from Viva Mayer. They say that their principle is successful when dietary guidelines are practiced in combination with modern complementary procedures, including functional myodiagnostics and orthomolecular medicine.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, yeah, it's like, follow these dietary guidelines, which we'll talk about, plus all of these ridiculous treatments and like weird pseudoscientific things. So what is the Mayer method diet? So from what I read, one of the main beliefs or roots of like the Mayer method is gut health. And, you know, they, FX Mayer and this team from Viva Mayer, they claim that the gut and the way that we eat play a big role in our health, which is like, okay, you're not wrong. But that's probably the only thing that we're going to agree on from here on out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I found it a little bit, honestly, confusing when I was reading about this diet, because there seemed to be so many different moving parts, and I'll get into this, but it was also, I don't know, maybe it's because they're based in like Europe. Some of the quotes and stuff on their website, I was like, is this proper English, like some of the sentences I read. Okay. So it says, medical treatments developed by Dr. F.X. Mayer assume we can become healthy, happy, and more efficient by temporarily changing our normal diet. So temporarily changing our diet. So like basically what they're saying is like, while you're at one of our institutions, change your diet and this will change your health, but then you go off and continue with your life. And then they say,
which, if I can just interject for a second, is like this like weird belief that what they're getting at is like you're quote resetting your system,
right?
Like if you just eat this particular way and go through these particular treatments for this period of time, like we're going to reformat your body in order for you to be healthier moving forward, which doesn't make sense. Yeah,
exactly. So it's they also say regular, and then in brackets, lifelong fasting leads to greater health by observing specific, this is what I was saying, regular lifelong fasting leads to greater health by observing specific dietary guidelines and changing eating habits. I don't know if that sentence made sense.
Is like, no, and their whole thing is like they promote intermittent fasting like for the rest of your life. Like they want people to start intermittent fasting.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, let's get into their dietary guidelines. So yeah, one of them is that you fast once per week. So I didn't really see the details about this, but I'm assuming it's like one day a week you fast.
Yeah.
And then at Viva Mayer, so specifically when you're there for your treatments or whatever, usually I think from what I read, they recommend 1 to 3 weeks at a Viva Mayer institution. So while you're there, you would be on a strict 600 calorie per day alkaline diet.
Right. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So that's the diet while you're there. And then again, you know, outside of the retreat, the followers of the method are not required to stick to this 600 calorie per day alkaline diet, but it is recommended that you fast once per week. And from what I read as well, is it's, outside of the institutions or outside of the retreat, it's not really understood what parts of it people do follow and what they don't, like if they carry some of the things with them. But here are some of the other guidelines. So on the Mayer method, it's important to cut out gluten and dairy as these are considered toxic and in fact a form of auto intoxication. So meaning that we are choosing in society to eat foods that are toxic for us, and that's what auto intoxication is. We're intoxicating ourselves by choosing to eat foods like gluten and dairy that are toxic for us. So first thing just to note, if you're using the Mayer method as a weight loss diet, cutting out gluten and dairy, like cutting out gluten and dairy, like that action of cutting those things out is not what's going to help you lose weight. No. What help? Like, no. Sure, if you cut out gluten and dairy, maybe you're restricting, you know, the variety of foods you can eat. Which,
and then you don't eat anything
else. Which in turn leads you to eating less calorically, and that leads to weight loss. But just cutting out gluten and dairy does not result in weight loss directly. Now, okay, the next one. The Mayer method also seems to have a problem with how we eat as a society. We eat too we eat too quickly. We eat while we're distracted. And we snack a lot. So part of the Mayer method is to chew your food 30 to 50 times before swallowing.
My favorite too is some of the things that I read about it. People were saying that you're also encouraged to smell your meal before you start eating, to quote, get the right kind of hormones going so that when you eat, you actually like digest it better or whatever.
Oh, no.
While you're chewing a million times after you smelled it.
And, you have to chew your liquids as well. Soups, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you have to make sure that you chew those, too. So just a note, and just in case you guys don't know, like, that is borderline, if not disordered eating. Like, sitting, that's a disordered eating habit. Sitting down and having to count how many times you chew your food. I think, you know, there's a difference between that and, you know, being mindful of and making mindful. Sure that you're taking time to chew your food well and swallow it, but literally having to go 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 50 while you're eating, and then also having to chew on soup, like, that's a bit...
Also, congratulations on having such a privileged life that you can spend 2 hours eating each meal.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that one is a bit, it's just overboard to me. It, you know, it's one thing to tell people to slow down and to chew their food, but to, like, make you count how many times you chew is a, you know, that's, we're nearing towards disordered eating habits when we do that.
And some of the other things around that whole chewing thing and, like, the actual, like, eating of your meal, I also read that they also encourage you only eat at the table. Like, you don't eat anywhere else. You only eat your meal at a dining table.
Another rule. Another rule. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one is drink water at room temperature and in between meals, so not with your meals. And the reasoning behind this is in order to prevent diluting the digestive juices in the stomach.
That's not how that works.
No, that's not you. That's not how that works. Our stomach cells, there's cells in our stomachs that automatically can adjust, like, the pH of our gastric contents, and they, like, our bodies can do that on its own. Like, we don't have to dilute things or not dilute things or the, yeah, that the whole pH thing, and there's a few more things about pH on this diet, it's just, it's BS. So you can drink water when you with your meal or without your meal, whatever, but it has nothing to do with the diluting the digestive juices. Your body knows what to do with, if you chew your food and swallow it and then take a drink of water, like, your body knows what to do with that. It's not gonna, like, go totally out of whack because you drank water with your lunch. Okay. All right, so as I've already mentioned, this guideline is to eat an alkaline diet. So I just wanted to say, I think we've already talked about it too. It's already been debunked that the pH of the foods that we eat or the diet pattern that we eat does not change the pH of our blood or of our bodies so drastically that it would have any negative or positive effect on our health.
Our bodies are too smart. Yeah. Like, our bodies control our homeostatic or, like, you know, average or basal level of the pH of every different system so tightly that you'd have to try very hard in order to actively change that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I understand that on an alkaline diet, people would likely be eating more fresh foods like fruits and vegetables. And so, yeah, sure, maybe you'll feel better on an alkaline diet, but it's not the change in pH, it's not the alkalinity that's making a difference. It's eating more fruits and vegetables. And you can do that without having to follow a strict alkaline diet guideline.
Exactly.
All right. So along with the alkaline diet rules on the MARE method, it's also encouraged to follow some principles of food combining as well. Now,
yes.
I don't think we've had a full in-depth conversation about food combining on the podcast.
We haven't.
But basically it's a list of rules around, you know, which types of foods or which macronutrients you should or cannot eat together or separate. So, you know, one of the main, principles, rules of food combining is that you shouldn't eat carbs and protein together. And the reasoning behind this is something like, you know, because protein digests slower than carbs, the carbs get backed up, not constipated, but they don't move through your digestive system as quickly, and then they end up rotting in your stomach, which just is not a thing. It's
all right, the whole fermentation thing.
Right. Then. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's also been widely debunked, and there's no evidence to support food combining. And
also, lots of proteins also contain carbohydrates.
Right, exactly. Like,
how are you going to peel apart the carbohydrates out of some protein?
And it's also, like, widely encouraged to eat multiple food groups or multiple macronutrient sources together in order to, like, slow down digestion, keep you fuller for longer. stabilize blood sugars, all of those things. Yeah. So it's like going against a lot of dietary guidelines we have, and it's going against basically like human physiology, because mm-hmm. our body knows what to do with carbs and protein together, or carbs alone, or fat and protein. It knows what to do. Okay. Next one, eat as little as possible at night in order to let the digestive system rest. So again, like, it just is blowing my mind how much this method or these like guidelines are ignoring how the body works. Like our organs don't shut off or rest at a certain time. They don't, you know, shut off at night. So just like our heart keeps beating and our lungs keep exchanging oxygen and carbon dioxide, our stomach and our intestines keep working if they need to. So, you know, they will digest your food if you eat your food at night. It's not, nothing bad is going to happen. You don't need to give it rest. And sleeping, you know what I mean? Like, if you're sleeping at night, that's plenty of rest on its own if you really do want to give it, quote, rest. Okay, couple more. No snacking between meals, and you must allow 5 hours in between each meal. So, again, I don't know if this is a rest thing or what it's all about, but to me, this is just like another like disordered.
It's a rule for having a rule's sake.
Yeah, it's like another disordered eating habit that gets normalized in our, thanks to diets like this and things like that, and rules that mm-hmm. say you should wait this long in between meals. It's like, so what if you get hungry? You just don't eat because it's been 4.5 hours. Like
they say, like drink water when, sorry, you're like not getting, you're, that's not going to make you full the way that a meal will make you full.
Okay. And the last one, no raw food after 4 PM. So this reminds me, and Tarek, I know you dabbled in like raw veganism for a while.
I dipped my toe in it for 9 months.
Yeah. So did you hear of like the raw till 4?
I did hear about programmer
ideology. So that's what that reminded me of, is like you eat raw food. Well, on raw till 4, you eat just raw food until 4 p.m. and then you eat just cooked food afterwards. But this is just saying no raw food after 4 p.m. And again, it's supposedly to let the digestive system rest, because apparently it's less effective after 4 p.m. And if you do eat raw food after 4 p.m., it will sit in the gut and rot or cause issues or something like that. So again, not true. And yeah, like what if you were
to... I love this idea that like people, they think like food sits in your digestive system for like days or something.
It just sits there and it's not being... Your body's not working to digest it or utilize it. Like, it just sits
if
there.
If that's happening, like, something's wrong. Like
exactly.
There's, like, something beyond requiring a crash diet to fix.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of the dietary guidelines. I mean, a lot of them are kind of problematic. Like I said, kind of borderlining disordered eating habits. If it was something that you, you know, felt like you needed to adopt and stick to hardcore, I don't think it would be great for you mentally or, and it's just not necessary. Like, it's just not necessary for optimal health to do a lot of these things. So yeah, that's the diet.
I loved going through the brochure for their services, because it was like reading through it, I was just, it was unbelievable to me that people were paying this much money to go to visit some of these institutions that Hannah was talking about around the world. Where you can actually live there for a bit, get trained on the diet plan, and also quote unquote benefit from some of the services that they offer. And just so people get an idea for it, it's so Canadian dollars, it's around $8,000 a week in order to stay at one of the Meyer Method places.
Meyer Method.
And here's like a list of some of the services. So one thing they do is provide liver wraps. Have you ever heard of a liver wrap? So it's a hot water bottle on your skin, like where your liver would be. You leave it on for around 30 minutes. Of course, it's going to, quote, detox and regenerate your liver, give you new energy. None of that makes any sense. None of that is true. You can't do that. Just eat healthy for you, whatever that means, and exercise. Like, this is ridiculous. Another thing that they do is bloodletting.
Oh, you know, my God. I know I read that.
Which is like, so I couldn't believe that because it's such a archaic medical procedure that like we know now that like bloodletting is not useful clinically ever. Like maybe there's like very few circumstances that have to do with like liver or like blood toxicity or like blood cancers or things like that. Yeah. But no, like you'll never, if someone wants to do bloodletting on you, like they're probably not a medical doctor.
So can you just explain to people what bloodletting is in case someone doesn't know?
Yeah. So different parts of the body, of course, apparently will be related to different things, like different aspects of your health. None of that's true, but so you could, for example, cut a vessel around your elbow, let it bleed, and that will make your whatever gallbladder feel better. Like, none of that's true, but it's literally bleeding people out.
Yeah.
This is obviously a terrible thing to do. You know, years and years ago, it was thought that it might reduce inflammation. In fact, it's going to probably create a bunch of new inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really exciting opportunity to get a bacterial infection. It's not a good thing to do. It's been disputed now. Like, we know this isn't a good thing to do at all. And the sad thing is that the Mayer method says that doing, like, literally cutting a vessel open and bleeding you out is going to, quote, unlock your inner organs. I don't want to unlock my
inner organs.
I want to keep them locked up.
I would like them to stay in place, actually. Thanks.
Stay in place, do nothing.
Yeah.
They also provide a service called emotional detoxification.
I saw that, too.
Amazing. So, therapy, probably from someone who's probably needs therapy themselves because they accepted a job offer at the Mayer Method Institution. So the sad thing is like they offer all these things, but they also have what they call obligatory services. So things that you have to get done while you're there. One of them is manual abdominal therapy, which is exactly what you think it is. You get your abdomen massaged, and they say that this is going to increase your intestinal activity. Actually, it might kind of do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that can work, but why do you have to get someone else to do, like, why can't you just like rub your stomach?
But the sad thing is they also say that it's going to help your digestive glands make a steady recovery, whatever that means. It also, quote, cleans your blood of metabolic wastes. Not true. And that this is more effective than your intestines doing the work on their own. Not true. It's not true at all. I looked up some articles to see, like, if manual abdominal therapy, like, if there was any word about it in the literature at all. It is something that in the clinic can increase colonic motility, like basically like get food moving down your colon. If you need help doing that, it's one way to do it. But there's nothing beyond that. Like, it's not going to help your metabolism in whatever way or any of your glands. Like, their work is not going to change. You also have to get something called acid base and mineral nutrient analysis, which is this whole thing about wanting to make sure that your body's on an alkaline diet, making sure it's alkaline enough. None of that's true. They also make you get something called free radical and biological and antioxidative potential, which they're alleging that they're measuring how many antioxidants or free radicals your body has. We've talked about this before. The science is not there. It doesn't support any of this stuff at all. Sure, blueberries are good for you, but it's because they contain energy and they're tasty. But it's not because they're going to cure you of whatever disease that you think you have. The other services that they offer, an electrolysis foot bath, which actually, if you watch the first episode of Tim Caulfield's How to Cheat Death, he covers electrolysis foot baths, where I learned that this was total bunk. So you put your foot in a foot bath, they run an electrical current through the bath, and then over time, the water turns like a murky brown, kind of like really deep red color. So you think, oh my gosh, all of that was in my body? But in fact, all of it is just the electrical current, the ions moving through the water, interact with the sweat on your legs, and then it oxidizes some of the whatever, like the compounds or the ions right. that are like coming off of your sweat and are that are already in like the tap water or whatever, wherever you got the water from, and the water changes color. Doesn't mean anything. You're not getting detoxed. That's not a thing.
Wow.
They also offer cryotherapy. No evidence for that whatsoever to support any sort of health benefit. In fact, you might actually get an adverse outcome. Like maybe you'll get frostbite in some conditions. Like it's just not a good idea right. health-wise to go through cryotherapy. And I like this. One of the articles that I was reading said that it's the same as taking a cold shower. So you can totally. Do that if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
They also want you to do craniosacral therapy, which is, again, some sort of, like, manual massage of your spine. Not going to do anything. They want to do machine lymph drainage, which is, again, manual massaging of your lymph nodes. It's not going to do anything. They want to do something called CelluAttack on you, which is a cellulite treatment. That's not going to help you do anything. Also, like, those cellulite treatments, most of them don't work. Like, celebrities who lose their cellulite lose it because they're probably getting plastic surgery and skin grafts. It's not because they're using any of these, like, ultraviolet light treatments.
And, how, like, having cellulite doesn't make you unhealthy. Like, cellulite no. is just, like, a healthy, it's just a normal thing. So, yes. like, getting rid of your cellulite, it doesn't make you any more healthy or well. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, they sell their own supplements. Oh, yes. And they promote the use of supplements. And apparently their personal supplements are very fast-acting, they say. And they successfully support liver detoxification, something we've talked about before, I think, or maybe not, but, quote, adrenal fatigue, not a thing. If your adrenal glands are fatigued, that's a bigger problem that a supplement will not help with. Histamine intolerance and, quote, many other indications. None of that's true. The brochure is nuts.
Yeah.
I hate that this is taking advantage of people.
Yeah, I also read that another big thing that they offer is, like, vitamin and nutrient, like, infusions, like IV, right, IV right, drips right. or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, you know what? Like, I can understand why you would, like, come out of a place like Viva Mare and feel really, I'm sure you'd leave there feeling relaxed and, like, refreshed. Well, sure. or whatever.
They also have a spa.
Exactly.
And they offer, it's, like, manicures, pedicures, yeah, so mud baths.
It's like going to a spa that's, you know, and any of these treatments that they're recommending, people, I'm sure they're, it's very spa-like. I'm sure they've made it beautiful and zen and
yeah.
and someone's taking care of you. So,
well, there's, like, a huge lake at the one in Austria.
Right,
like,
exactly. So you're, like,
mountains,
feeling beautiful. Relaxed. You're, you know, all of that stuff. So you're probably going to leave feeling good. I don't doubt that, but it's really...
You also have $8,000 to spend on this, so you have a pretty awesome life.
So you
life.
Feel good.
You're feeling relaxed anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? The prices just kind of blew my mind as well. Like you said, like $8,000 for a week to spend there. And I don't think that includes travel or accommodations or anything
accommodations.
Like that. Yeah. Nope. So you have to pay it extra doesn't. For that stuff. And, you know, I read an article where about this, where I got some of the information from Abby Langer, who's a dietitian. She debunks a lot of stuff on her website and on her social media. And, the last paragraph of her blog post about the Mare method was just about, like, you know, it was about, you know, mainly about Rebel Wilson and how she's, you know, claimed to have gone through this Mare method and attributes a lot of her weight loss to that. And, you know, she just highlights how problematic that is, that now, like, we know what the guidelines and what the treatments and things like that are for, or that Rebel Wilson's been doing, and a lot of it is potentially harmful, you know, potentially disordered, like borderline starvation diet. It is, you know, 600 calorie kind of thing. But people just praise the weight loss and they say, good job, like, great job, Rebel, like, good job. And, but it's like, at, you know, I don't know. I think she was just highlighting that our society just, like, praises weight loss at all costs.
And especially, like, the stuff that society makes women go through and, like, to yeah. glorify weight loss is, I remember one thing that sticks out to me is, remember Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah.
Remember her mom, yeah. Mama June? it was such a big deal that she was losing weight that it was virtually impossible to get a photograph of her in the time that she was losing weight, because her PR was trying to keep it so secret so that it could be a huge reveal when she actually showed herself. So that's how big it was. They were like hiding her for like a year or something until she, I think her first public appearance, I love that I know this, her first public appearance was on Wendy Williams.
Okay.
Until that moment. Like, the fact that somebody was like, I don't know, covered when like going in vans and like hidden from the paparazzi, not because they were famous, but because they were losing weight and wanted to cash, like her manager, as much as she did, I'm sure her managers and her team wanted to cash in on her weight loss as well. Like, it's so wild to me.
And now, just like knowing the extent that a lot of these people are going to weight loss, but we still continue to like, I don't know, just praise it and applaud it when like a lot of it isn't even healthy, like a lot of these guidelines that blood I just letting. Read off and 600 calorie diets and cutting out entire food groups and all of those things and these really disordered rules around the time of your eating and how many times you have to chew and things like that. So anyways, it's really questionable, it's really expensive, it's clearly, you know, it just seems like it's a very exclusive kind of method. It, you know, these mayor method, you know, this business is really, it seems to be preying on, you know, really wealthy people or celebrities who don't know any better. Like, you know, they don't, they see it's created by a physician in Europe and whatnot. And they just want to like achieve health.
I'm sure it's exclusive. That's very attractive.
Exactly. So anyways, it's a bit sad that people, I mean, I guess they have the money, but they go to this extent.
Well, but then also, like, the whole glorification of it on social media isn't great, especially for young people, like, very impressionable people.
Yeah, so, the Mayer method, the Meyer method, whatever you call it, it's, don't recommend.
It still breaks my heart. Oh, wow, Hannah, that's shocking. It still breaks my heart thinking about when I went to this talk by a dietitian and this young girl was in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And she asked, is it unhealthy if I eat avocados? And I wanted to cry. Like, I just because I feel like I was there, like when I was younger, like I would have maybe asked the same question. I just hate that she had to ask that. Like, and like, those are the people who are watching, not just Rebel Wilson, but like everybody who promotes this stuff online.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it is sad. It's unfortunate. Anyways, that was... It's always interesting.
Yeah. Okay, bye everyone.
No, I was just going to say it's always interesting to see what... Like, it's mind-blowing, I guess, to me, to see the kind of things that people are participating in these days. But all right,
and the combination of like just ridiculous things, like mixing things like electrolysis foot baths and bloodletting and food combining, like you wouldn't think those things go together, but
apparently they do. All right,
yes,
well, since it's your birthday, why don't you tell me what's been tasty to you this week?
Well, I'm very lucky. I have amazing family and friends, and I got some very nice messages, and Thomas has been treating me really well. I'm really excited to check out what he got me for my birthday today. Actually, I also got, this morning I woke up to a cameo from Roxane Gay. Dr. Gay, thank you so much. I love it so much. Thomas got me that, obviously. I know. Very, very cool. What
wow.
a great gift.
I want to see.
A really great way to wake up this morning. Yes, I'll send it to you. That is a really awesome way to wake up this morning. And I will say, we've talked about this before, gift giving can be like selfish as well. Like, I really like gift giving, and I like to make sure somebody gets a gift that they enjoy. And I don't know if you, did we talk to you guys about this? I mean, because you haven't been home, but Thomas got a new job, like at his same work, but he got a different position. Oh, did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to get him something to make him feel special, and it arrived today, and I'm so happy. that it came. Actually, I'm going to send you a picture of it. And yeah, it was just like fun getting to give him that. Also, like, so that felt special for me that he got his present. I'm so proud of him for his job. And yeah, so that's been tasty for me today.
I love that. So sweet. That's a very heartfelt, well, tasty. I love it.
Thank you, Hannah. Well, I would love to know what has been munchy, munchy, crunchy, crunchy, tasty for you.
Well, you know what? I had a hard time. I was like, earlier today, I yelled upstairs. I was like, Pat, what did we eat this week? Seriously, I was like, what did we eat this week? What, like, do we eat anything interesting or whatever? Because we've been isolating in Moncton since once we came back from Nova Scotia for the holidays. We had to isolate, so we have about, I think, 5 days left of isolation, 6 days. And so, you know, we did a big Costco haul before we came back to isolate, so it hasn't really been that interesting. But on Saturday, we did order sushi from a new place here in Moncton. Shout or not out. new to us. We had never tried it before.
Yeah.
And I ordered a roll that I have never tried before, and I don't, you know, not all sushi restaurants that I've frequented offered this, but it was a mango roll.
Yum. Okay.
So good. It was just simple. Delicious. Like, it was just like cucumber, avocado. I don't know if it had any fish or like crab or anything in it, but then it had mango and like on top mango with like almost like a mango sauce. And
so good.
It was delicious. I love mango. And so as soon as I saw it on the menu, I was like, gotta have that. So yeah, mango sushi was delicious. If you haven't ordered a mango roll at your fave sushi restaurant, you should try it. And yeah, that's what's been tasty for me this week.
I hate to sound like a petulant brat, but we don't get good fruit up here. Like North America, like, we can't even import good fruit because it would rot if we imported it ripe, and it never ripens properly here. And to have like delicious fruit like a mango is such a treat.
Yeah,
like, I totally get why that's your tasty.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah,
thank you for sharing.
All right, well, thanks guys for listening to a little bit longer than usual episode. We just had so much to cover with you guys. We basically covered two different diets in this episode, so yes. You're welcome.
Yeah. That's why they pay us the big bucks.
No, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope that you learned something, and please leave us a rating and review. Share the podcast with your friends and family, and follow us on social media. We'll leave the links in the description.
Yeah, we'd love to hear all about what you think about this episode, and give us some recommendations for topics in the future.
Yeah, we'd love that. All right, well, we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.